Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Rounded. Vandaag ek sal preek die boodskap van God aan Afrikaans. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I love for Afrikaans. Man, don't hate me. I just love the language. Praise the Lord. Oh, we've been having fantastic time. Friday, we went to, what school was that? Belleville, yeah. There was a young man there, very hard-hearted and never cried, never laughed, just like me. The boy was bitter, broken marriage from broken parents. The teachers were desperate to see this boy turn around. But yet on Friday, he cried bitterly. I've never seen a young man cry like that. And he couldn't stop, so I allowed him to cry some more. Yeah, the more you cry, the more tears come out, there's healing inside. Don't, as I always say, never suppress the tears. Let them out. So also today, Sunday morning, I hear here there were many tears as well. And we went to Wellington. There were lots of them. We would fill up drums and drums and drums. Yeah, drums of forgiveness and people repenting from, hatred, unforgiveness and depression and all that anxiety, fear of tomorrow, fear of everything. And so we had a wonderful time this morning. I praise God. First, I want to thank Pastor Sears for inviting me to come and preach here. He's a very brave man. Especially when you have to invite a person like me, you are not sure that he will spoil your church. Yeah, because some of us, we are D24 caterpillars, bulldozers. We pull down trees and bulldozers and so on. And Pastor Sears is a grader that smoothies, the road. So the grader smoothies the road, and the D24 is not allowed to pass on the road because it will spoil the road. So we thank God for Pastor Sears and all the elders of Shofar. And partly Shofar, I'm partly Presbyterian, I'm partly Pentecostal, Anglican, I'm everything. Yeah, so I thank God if I die here, Shofar will bury me. And hallelujah. All in my heart, send it to my wife. She must only have my heart. But the whole body, just throw it somewhere, I don't know. Because people buy expensive coffins just for to dump it 6 feet. Very expensive. And they don't buy me expensive things, but when I die, they buy expensive suit and so. Man, put me in a carton and throw me somewhere there. But my soul is in glory. Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me coming here. It's been a real great pleasure going around preaching in schools to see what God has been doing. But also I want to plan for next year where we could reach out the whole Stellenbosch and have big crusades even in the townships. Can it happen?
Yes.
Are you serious? Wow, hallelujah. We want to reach out, this whole area and have a big crusade. And after this And tomorrow I'm flying back to Pietermaritzburg, but I'll be there only 2 days and go to Pretoria, where I have a meeting with some top guys who are trying to meet, you know, the government because of what is happening in the country. And, you know, schools and the pastors and so on. So there is a voice which he wants to talk. Amen? Are you going to pray for us? Yeah. Now, up from there, we're organizing another crusade in Pretoria and then planning for Johannesburg 2019, the whole Johannesburg, and bring all of you to come and preach. So I'm preparing you now. Are you ready to come? Yeah, we've had some who went to Nepal, where, but now this is very close that you can come and evangelize Johannesburg. So we are planning also Rhodes University. We'll be going there for Grahamstown and the university. And then we are planning also for Durban, reaching out Durban. So we are busy in the kingdom of God. And do pray for us. Amen. Yeah, pray for us that God will give us speed, especially the most difficult people, the pastors. Hey. To get through pastors is a mountain. I don't know why God created pastors. Hey. Wow. You would think that going to pastors, they would say, yes, let's go and preach. But, to pass through pastors is a mountain. Only those who are spirit-filled, pastors who are spirit-filled, who have a passion for souls, are simple. You come, say, let's go and preach. They will say, yes, let's go, right away. That's what I would expect from pastors, but it's difficult. Real difficult. And now the world is turned upside down. You want to meet pastors, they come for meetings to plan for a crusade. They will want seating allowances. Even wanting seating allowances to go and save souls. I mean, things have gone bad. So we want to thank God that God will open up the hearts of many pastors that we may reach out with the gospel. To September 11th, we're flying to Kampala, Uganda. We have a big crusade in the stadium, and the government, we are reaching out to the police, we are reaching out to the members of parliament, we are reaching out every strata of the city. Marketplaces, hospitals. So we are getting over 152 evangelists in one city, going literally everywhere. The police, the CIDs, the army, all area will be reached out with the gospel. And then the top executives, the CEOs, who have meetings in the hotels, have breakfast for doctors, for lawyers, for professors in the different hotels. And we invite a medical doctor to preach to medical doctors, a lawyer to preach to fellow lawyers. And so we organize this in Kampala. Because these top guys, you only reach out to them through their stomachs. You have to give them food to hammer them with the word of God. Amen. Yeah, no food, they don't come. So give them food, hit them hard. Yeah, so we'll invite even the president and so on. So do pray for us. From 11th, we are in Kampala up to the 24th. And 24th, Brother Tienz and myself will fly back to have another short crusade in Durban, in one area of Durban. So we'll leave others to do the closing rally while we come back straight into another crusade. So we are in the business of preaching, business of winning souls. Amen. Father, we thank you this evening. We pray, O God Almighty, that you bless us and that you speak through your word. And I want to give you all the glory and praise for all what you have done today and done in the past week. Every soul saved, O God, we want to submit that soul to you, Lord God, to stand firm, not to be saved for 1 week or for 20 years, but through eternity. So, Father, we commit them to you, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, as a last message, I think I'll be caught and cracked. Yeah, I want to be invited again. Oh, I say 35 minutes I have. Hallelujah. Woo, 35 minutes. I got plenty of time. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Only one verse. Romans 1, verse 16. That I promise you, very short. Oh, it's one verse. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Those who don't know the geography of the Bible is extreme right. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'll be reading it in the New International Version, but you can read also in your version, King James, or New King James, or whatever. But in the NIV, it reads, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And that's what I am. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, if you are not ashamed, that means there is something you are not ashamed of. There are some people who are shy to talk about their families. There are some people who are shy because of their backgrounds. They cannot talk about their backgrounds, where they are coming from. There are some that cannot talk about their tribe because their tribe is inferior. Is inferior, mostly is ridiculed. They make mockery of their tribes. For me, I never told people that I was from the broken family. I was from the broken home. I was shy. And I was shy to talk about my education. And when I heard people speaking in English, I would slip away because in case they asked me a question in English. So I would slip away, hide, and people I feared most, I was shy, were the women. If women greeted me, ooh, I would feel like I must sink and run away. Because the more she looked at me, she was a poor thing. Poor thing, man. I won't marry this thing, you know. So I was shy of women, I would greet and run away. But also, I had a passion to live for God. Before I was saved, I didn't like this of raping women or sleeping with women. I was shy. But also, I was defending women for anything boys might do to girls. So I would beat up any boy I saw with a girlfriend. I don't know how many boys I stabbed with a knife when I asked him, does her parents know that you are in love? When he says no, that boy was in trouble. And my gang, I shot two boys with my gun because she was trying to touch this boy, this girl. And I said, why are you touching her? And he said, no, I was playing with her and I shot him on his leg. It is all what I heard was that I was born rejected. I lived under a bridge, feeding from the garbage bins. So I don't want to produce another child who will grow up like me. I didn't want to produce myself in the streets outside of wedlock. So I thank God when I married my wife, Rachel. She was a virgin and I was a virgin. Virgin plus vision equals peace and love and joy. Hallelujah. But if you marry outside of wedlock, even if you have slept with another boy somewhere, you marry another boy, the guilt of that first sex will haunt you in the marriage. That's why it is very important not to. And even if a boy tries to persuade you, please, man, I'm finished, I'm dying, let him die. Hallelujah. Let him die. You want to be a virgin on your wedding day. What a glorious thing it will be on your wedding day, standing up there, and what, this is what my wife did at my wedding day. I shared my testimony at my wedding day. At my wedding day were the 36 people who came to Jesus. So I was an evangelist in marrying. So I'll be an evangelist in dying as well. I want people to preach at my funeral. Amen. When I preached at my mother's funeral, which is a taboo in our country, you don't preach at your mother's funeral. But I preached at my mother's funeral. There were over 20,000 people. And I preached the gospel. 3,000 people came to Christ. So I want, you know, the joy of knowing that I am in love with Jesus. So because of Jesus, I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul was saying. I'm not ashamed. Just as I was not ashamed about Rachel. When the day she said yes to me, I was crazy. Ooh. Because I've never been loved in my life. I've never been loved. When she said, yes, I will marry you, I said, oh, so can we pray? So I prayed the longest prayer you have ever heard. Because I was afraid if I say amen, then she looks at me and says, now what will I say next? So I had to pray a very long prayer. Praise the Lord, man. The Lord helped me and gave me grace and so on. My mother-in-law said, I don't know how you talk to your wife because she's a quiet woman. Very quiet. But she married me now who was drunk in the spirit. And started talking to my wife, started tuning, started praying with her, started giving her the word of God, tuning her in the word of God. And she became an intercessor. And so that's why Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. There's nothing that can make me shy. That's why I told you the other day, when I go through the immigration, when they stamp my passport, I use my passport to preach the gospel. If you sit with me, like tomorrow, you sit next to me, you will hear the gospel in the plane. You are stuck with me. Amen. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I go through all those scanning the airport. As I put my suitcase, my laptop, then they search me. I said, hey, sir, you are going to be searched in heaven. Are you going to pass that scanning in heaven? So you use everything, and many people start crying. Almost every month, I'm leading one immigration officer or customs, and all those security, I win one person to Christ. I use what he's doing because I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. If everyone here at the campus, if everyone here in Shofar was not ashamed of the gospel, all what happens in colleges will stop because everyone is talking about Jesus. Amen? Everyone is not, if you are not ashamed to talk about your girlfriend or your boyfriend, how about Jesus? How about Jesus? I almost wanted to tell the whole world, you see, I'm in love, you know, you know I'm in love. He said, what? I said, I'm in love. I wanted to tell everybody, I want everyone to know that someone, one woman had loved me. Amen. She was brave enough because to love a person who couldn't, my English was so bad that day. Adjective was going this way, noun was going this way. Everything was zigzag. But yet she said, yes, I'll marry you. But now, I thank God. My in-laws rejected me 3 times. They say, you can't marry this boy, was a gang leader before. What if he backslides, he'll kill you? But my wife said, no, I want to marry him because he's born again. He said, no, this born again thing will finish. He'll be killed. He said, no, I still love him. 3 times, the third attempt, they literally took a basin of water like Pontius Pilate. They washed their hands. Whatever happens to your daughter, it's your fault. So we married. And we started in a tiny, tiny room, one single room. We had to put our suitcase this way and under the bed. That's how we started our marriage. And then I was a preacher when I faced this way, preaching city by city, city by city. I broke bridges behind me. And I would take my wife with me, preach the gospel, sit under a big tree, morning preach the gospel. Many times we slept under a tree or sometimes in church vestries. Then she became pregnant. Our child was born. We used to put our child in the suitcase and put a mosquito on it. So 2 of our kids grew up in the suitcase, but we never stopped preaching the gospel because I was not ashamed to preach about Jesus, to talk about Jesus. He means so much to me. I don't know about you. Hey, man, I love Jesus so much. And so, are we together? Verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, have you ever seen people who are not ashamed? These drunkards. I used to drink myself. I remember one day I had drunk too much of beer. I fell down and vomited and slept on my vomit. And, you know, you wake up, the whole shirt, everything is full of vomit. And then tomorrow you don't stop, you drink again. And again, you drink again. Because you are a slave, you are in shackles of beer. There is a demon that was thrown from heaven, does not have a body. It wants someone's body to use it to drink. So that spirit goes in a man
in a girl to drink, to drink, to drink. You can't stop. You are in bondage. You need deliverance. You understand? These drugs you take, it's a spirit that forces you to take what you shouldn't be taking. I was once in those shackles until that day when Jesus came into my life. Now, when you are a drunkard, you can go, you know, you see a person walking like, especially in the towns, he's staggering. And when he comes, he drinks beer 10 miles away. But when he comes home, the whole house is smelling beer. Like the whole company has come there. And how often wives are tortured. Women are always tortured with husbands who smoke, with husbands who drink. Because when they are drunk, that's when they want to kiss their wife. Kiss me. The wife, when you say, you think I'm smelling? But you are smelling. You know, they don't know that they are smelling. Is that right? They don't know that they are smelling. That's when they want to come closer to you to talk to you. But when Jesus comes into your life, the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That makes you, what is it that makes you not be ashamed? Because when Jesus comes into your life, he is like the battery in your life, in the car. When you get the key and you want to switch on the car, it goes wing, 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 until you put petrol. When you put petrol, it will vroom, it will go. Because the sparks from the battery sparks in the pistons to put fire. So Jesus, when he comes into your life, is like your battery. But then you need the Holy Spirit. When you have this Spirit of God and Jesus together, man, you are on fire. Hallelujah. You are unstoppable, and then you are not ashamed of the gospel. Yeah, you are not ashamed. You can't stop talking. You want to stop. Oh, no, you will find yourself talking. Amen. I told you the other day when I got saved, I had to shut my mouth in church. Good Presbyterian. Oh, no, I had to shut my mouth. When I said hallelujah, shh. There was fire in me. Amen. I was like those 12 spies. Remember those 12 spies in the book of Numbers? They were sent by Moses. They went and saw the giants. There were four G's they saw. The first G they saw were the giants. Number two, they saw the great fortified walls. Number three, they saw the country as graves, many graves. Now, when you see the great fortified walls, you see the giants, you see the graves, automatically you see yourself like a grasshopper. So grasshoppers, they are always trembling because they are grasshoppers. But I thank God, two boys out of 12, two boys, Joshua and Caleb, they went beyond the four G's. They saw the fifth G, the great and almighty God. When you see the great and almighty God, you are unstoppable. You are not ashamed because you have seen the great and almighty God. Hallelujah. The one who died and rose again. The one who is alive forever and ever and ever. What a wonderful Savior. Don't save a prophet who died and is rotten now. No. Save the King of Kings. The one who rose again. Who is alive forever and ever and ever. Oh, there's only two amens because... They are not
They don't love the one who rose again.
Now, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because, that's the reason, this is the reason now, because it is the power of God for the salvation. Hallelujah. Now, there are powers around the world which are moving, but this gospel, I love it because it is the power. In Greek, the dynamite, the dynamo, the explosive. When a dynamite explodes, like me when I used to put a landmine, when a truck comes here, it will throw the truck miles away. The power of a little thing, the dynamite on that, the hand grenade, can destroy this whole place. That small thing, the explosive on that, the dynamite. So the gospel is the power, the dynamite of the Lord. Hallelujah. When the dynamite explodes in your heart, it hits you. That's why we see many people crying, you didn't beat him. But this dynamite of the word, when it touches your life, you find yourself, hallelujah. You know, I told you from age six, I never cried. From age six, I never cried. I never laughed. But at the age of 20, a dynamite of the word of God on Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, as the preacher pointed the finger. The power of God touched my life. I walked from the back. I had my AK-47. Some of you are coming to the Lord smartly. You know, some are chewing gum. I'm coming to Jesus. You are coming to Jesus with a cape backwards. When I came to Christ, I was crying from the back with my AK-47, with my two revolvers, with my dynamites there, landmines. I came forward. I had my 14 kg TNT bomb when I was kneeling down in front here. Oh, some of you, and that day, you know, many people had died, dead bodies all over, dead bodies, the night I came to Jesus. It wasn't peaceful like this. And out of 3,000, I was the only boy who remained behind that night. One boy. Long hide afro, not this one. This one, my wife prays for me too much, that's why I lose my hair. Because I'm repenting every time to her. So when I repent, I say, pray for me. She prays for me. So I lose my hair. Thank you so much. 15 minutes. Hey, man, you are doing well, eh? And so, you know, God is so good that that night I came to Jesus and my life was changed. But also God, that power helped me to forgive the white man. That power helped me to forgive the white man. I had hatred for white people. But when that power comes in, it destroys hatred. It destroys anxiety. It destroys anger. Unforgiveness, it destroys that unforgiving spirit in your life. And so I had to forgive the white man. And two times I attempted to commit suicide. Twice I attempted to commit suicide. But that power that came into my life destroyed that spirit of suicide. I'm alive today by the grace of God. Because that power of God destroyed that spirit of suicide. What a gracious Savior we have. But also that power doesn't stop there. That power also, it destroys the enmity between husband and wife. It reconciles man and woman. It is that power that destroys that misunderstanding between the wife and the husband. That destroys that misunderstanding between the boyfriend and the girlfriend. But it is the power that makes the boyfriend and the girlfriend to live a holy life. Without that power, you have sex outside marriage because you have no power to stop you. But this power makes you to live a holy life. Many people say, oh, it's difficult. There's so much chemistry moving. No. I was saved when I was 20 years old. Listen, I was saved when I was 20 years old. Chemistry was still working. 20-year-old boy. And before I was saved, I had about 13 girlfriends. And each one, I told them, oh, you are the only one in the whole world. This one, I can hardly sleep when I think of you. This one, I can hardly eat when I think of Each one had a different vocabulary. But if there is a boy, yeah, girls, listen, girls. If there's a boy who can't sleep, don't marry him. Don't marry that person. Because he can't sleep, he's a witch. Are we together? Why can't he sleep? If he doesn't eat, don't marry him. Because you'll be gone for a long time. You'll cook food and you'll come when food is cold. He told you in advance, I don't eat. Are we together? So this power keeps you holy, keeps you faithful to your partner. You know, we are so unhappy with partners who are always clashing, arguing, fighting. No, God, as Christians, he gives us the power to love and to keep each other in harmony. That's the power I love. And that power kept me and my wife clean before the Lord. Very clean before the Lord. Because I wanted to build a relationship with my wife that will last forever. That relationship, because as a young man, I built the relationship properly. Now we are 48 years together. Hallelujah. 48 years together. 48 years. Amen. 48 years. I still kiss her. I still love her. Woo. Yeah. I want to close. Paul says it is the power to separate us from any sinful ways, but also the power to reconcile you with someone you don't love. That is that power of the Holy Spirit in my life. But it's also the power that gives you purpose. It is that power that gives you purpose. What is your purpose in life? What is your destiny in life? There are so many people who don't know who they are, where they are going, what is their purpose in this world. That's why some, they want to commit suicide because they don't know their purpose. They are always complaining, they don't know their purpose. Sometimes you are worried, who will pay my school fees? Hey, if you knew who you are, you don't ask for school fees because the father said, ask, seek, knock, I will give it to you. It's the same, ask. Ask, A, ask. S, seek. K, knock. Ask. Amen. is the same word, ask. Me, I've learned to ask. Hallelujah. So that power gives you your purpose in this life. That no matter who you are, whether you suffer broken family or wherever you are coming from, God has a special purpose for your life. Amen. Thank you. 5 minutes. You are great. God has given you a purpose for your life. He wants you to fulfill that purpose in your life. When God called me to preach the gospel, I didn't know how to speak. I could hardly speak English. My first English message was in the Baptist church in Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. I was asked to preach, so I prepared the message in Shona, and I told the white missionary to interpret for me in English. So when we met the following day, he said, no, you are going to preach in English. I said, no, please, have mercy. My English is bad. He said, no, prepare. And then he took my Shona, outline. He tore it into pieces. I said, please. So I had to start all over on Thursday. And I didn't sleep Thursday night, the whole night. My eyes were swollen, trying to prepare a message in English. And Saturday, the whole Friday, the whole night, I couldn't sleep. The fear of going to preach in English. And this morning now of Sunday, I said, God, now I'm like a lamb to be crucified. And you, man, my everything was sweating, my hands was, I was scratching. There was no scratching, but I was restless. The fear. So I went in the Baptist church, my time to preach. My Bible was going like this. You know, everyone could see it, how I was But I started preaching slowly with my bad English. As I went on, I was gaining momentum. And then one young man from the back started coming forward. Another one forward. 3/4 of the church were in front crying. My first English message. God had taken over because he had a purpose for my life. Hallelujah. Maybe you are here. God has a purpose. You have been trying to destroy your life through drinking, through smoking, through immorality and so on. God has a purpose for your life. He wants you, as the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God wants you to have it, but you need that power that will keep you clean, that will keep you walking clean heart. Man, it doesn't mean that when I became an evangelist, I was immune to temptations. I've had 101 temptations from women, from all over the world. But God gives you the power to overcome temptations. Are we together? God gives you the power to overcome what? Temptations. When you have that power, you say, God, from now on, I'm determined. Come what may, I'm going to walk this road with you. Now listen, as I close, we close many times in Africa. He says the power of salvation to everyone who believes. First to where? The Jews. Now, when he says the Jews, the religious people. So this power has to visit the religious people. Even like here, there are so many who are so religious, but without power. So this power, when it comes in the church people, because there are many people who are playing church. People are playing church. They come every Sunday, after Sunday, but the same person. After Sunday, the same person. No change. After Sunday, the same person. There's no coming from this level to another level, to another level. They are the same as they were last year. They are the same as they were last month because they are playing church. So that power comes to the Jews first, to the religious people. When people who know the Lord repent, the Bible says, if my people shall what? Thou humble themselves. Man, God is looking for his people to humble themselves. If they humble themselves, we've been saying, let's pray for South Africa. Let's pray for South Africa. Forget praying for South Africa. If you, as a child of God, has not repented, has not sought the face of the Lord, has not knelt down to humble yourself, to seek the face of the Lord, South Africa will never repent. God is waiting for you today that God will touch your life. You say, yes, if my people, you are God's people, don't play church. Say, God, I want you to touch me. I want to give me the enthusiasm, the joy, the passion to preach the word of God. South Africa will never be the same. God wants you to give you that power. And now it says to the Gentiles. Me, I was a Gentile. I'm not a Jew, I was a Gentile. So God says, even to the Gentiles, that power goes beyond the Jews. It comes to people like us, the Stephen Lungus, who are not Jews. And that power reached Stephen Lungu. And I got saved. I accepted Jesus. And I am part of the children of Abraham. Amen. I'm a Jew, but in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And because of that power that changed me, maybe God wants to visit you. Said, God, give me that revival. I need that power in my life. I want to change. I want to go to a higher level tonight. God wants to touch you tonight. And if you want God to move you from this level, you said, God, I've been on one level too long. I've been on one level too long. I want to go higher. And God wants to touch you. Maybe there's something or anxiety or depression. You have been suffering on depression as we pray this morning, this evening. You say, God, this thing has been torturing me for too long. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. And surrender that to the Lord. You know, God prepared me to forgive my mother. After 51 years, I didn't know where my mother was. But God so prepared me, that power reached me, separated me from my hatred, cleansed me, uprooted me, gave me the inner healing. After I got the inner healing, 51 years later, preaching in the football stadium, people coming forward, among the people I was praying for was my mother. And when my mother came forward, she said, I'm your son, I'm your mother. And I said, oh, thank you for adopting me. She said, no, I'm not adopting you. I'm your real mother, the one who dumped you. Can you imagine the woman who left you 51 years and dumped you, never thought of you, but this, she appears from nowhere. The only reaction would be, where were you all this time? But no. God spoke to me as I was about to open my mouth and said, Stephen, don't ask her where she was. Until she died, I never asked her. I had to forgive my mother from my heart. I had to forgive my mother. Maybe there's someone here, your stepfather abused you, or stepmother, or whoever. Up to now, you still have that grudge, that bitterness inside. Or whoever in your family. Some people even told you, you are good for nothing. When they said you are good for nothing, you believed it. And you grabbed it. And it's tortured you. But today you said, God, no, I'm not good for... you created me for a purpose. And I want to come to you to fulfill that destiny. To fulfill that purpose in my life. God wants to touch you tonight. And you say, God, there were so many words said about me. If I were to tell you things they told me, I was even called a bastard child. You have never called, been called that, a bastard child. What a name. But he said, God, no. I want to cut off the lineage of my father and my mother. Start a new lineage. From my father, there was the Mary divorce. My father married 11 times. My mother married many times. And I was the first in all lineages, the first to marry for the first time, one wife, 48 years together. Because I had to break that lineage. Maybe God wants you to break that lineage. You said, yeah, enough is enough. I want to break that lineage. I want to start a brand new one. God is going to bless you. But you said, God, here is my life. Surrender that life. Shall we stand? Surrender that life to God. He said, God, I want to surrender that life. I want to start a new lineage in my life. Not of that of depression. Not that of committing suicide, of anxiety, of all questioning God. You say, God, I want that power in my life to change me, to bless me, to move me, to accept my destiny, my blessing from you. God will do it. Just come forward and say, God, I need you today. Begin coming forward and say, God, I want you to touch my life.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.